soften your senses, ways to become a better speaker, listener, and follower.
We can never completely get rid of CO2 and CO in the atmosphere. It's just a natural byproduct of a lot of different processes. So one of the big focuses, though, is how can we mitigate what's going out into the environment? So there's also the environmental reasons. So it's kind of a multi-part that we're working with to be able to do that, but we are starting to see those tides turn.
This episode brought to you by UEI Test Instruments, helping HVACR professionals keep America safe and comfortable. Learn more at UEITest.com. Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again on Did You Know, the ESCO HVAC podcast. So today we're spending time with Michael Kane, president of UEI and chairman of Kane Group, and Louise Keller. How are we doing?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We love having Luis on. We do a lot of training classes. We've covered combustion analysis. We've covered meters. We just have a lot of fun. Mr. Kane's been with us in the past on a podcast. And so now we're going to spend some time regrouping and talking about our industry from a slightly different perspective. Here in the United States, sometimes we'll get a little myopic on what we understand for combustion analysis because we're just kind of focused on what we see and what we know. But Mr. Kane, you've been in the industry for a very long time. Your family has been in the meter and tool industry for a long time, not just in the United States, but abroad. And so you have a very different perspective that I would love for us to talk about. And then we'll dive a little deeper into combustion analysis and proper practices along the way.
Well, I really appreciate the invitation, Clifton. It's particularly apt that we're recording this during National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Month.
That's right.
Our business has been partnering with the National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Association for several years now. Their president, Sharon McNabb, is doing an outstanding job in drawing attention to the dangers of carbon monoxide. So we're very grateful to be a part of that and grateful to have a chance to chat with you today.
Yeah, well, thank you. So when we talk about carbon monoxide awareness, what do we see as differences between, say, the United States and other places like the UK that has different regulations and maybe brings a different perspective than what we're used to here?
So our business started nearly 70 years ago now. And the test and measurement part began with just an electronic thermometer in about 1963. But when my brother joined the business in 1990, he started work on the product development side. And one of the things he realized was that, you know, the products we were making combustion analyzers back then. You know, one of the problems they were trying to solve is the danger of carbon monoxide poisoning, but there was no framework, no understanding of the risk or any framework that would cause anybody to think they needed to do something about it. A good analogy would be seatbelts. I mean, I remember growing up as a child, I used to sit on my father's lap, change the gears, and you'd get into terrible trouble for doing that today. And you know, there was just a realization that that was great, but if you had an accident and you didn't have a seatbelt, it didn't end too well. And now we're in a world today where, you know, everybody just understands that it's sensible to wear seatbelts when you're driving. And that's just changed in the course of my lifetime.
I'm a standard.
Well, it's the parallel that was with carbon monoxide. Back when he was starting doing the work, maybe people recognized it was an issue, I'm not sure. But there was just no framework that would cause anybody to do anything about that potential risk. So what he's been working on really for the last 30 years is to create a legislative framework in the UK that basically requires two things. The first thing it requires is that if somebody's going to come into your home and work on your furnace or your boiler, that they're qualified to do that and qualified by an independent assessment, not just because you wrote on your business card that you're qualified.
Yeah, have I done the right thing for 30 years, or have I done the wrong thing 30 years in a row?
That's right. So create that framework that the person who shows up at your door is qualified.
Right.
And then the second part of that is that if you're working on a furnace or boiler, that the equipment you're using meets a certain standard. Obviously, our products meet that standard, but there are other companies in the game as well, and their products are meeting the standard as well. So I think if he was here, he'd probably say he did other things as well. But those are the two main parts of the regulatory framework that exists within the UK to help minimize the risk of carbon monoxide poisoning. We say that our business is about keeping homes and workplaces safe and comfortable. Well, that's an important part of it. And as he's gained from experience in the UK, so he's also begun to do that in Europe. And there have been, you know, it's a slightly different world there, but he's made some progress there. And there are some countries that are further down that road than others. And then he's also working with some organizations here in the US. We'll see how that develops.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a standard in the UK, what are the expectations of a service contractor when we're talking about these gas-fired appliances?
That is, first of the guys qualified. I mean, when somebody comes into your home, they have to show you a badge that shows that you are on the registry of, I can't remember what the exact name of it is, but you're on the registry of people allowed to do this kind of work. And then the second part is, and Louise can explain the mechanics of this, but that, you know, why would you use a combustion analyzer? Well, you want to be sure that a boiler is running or a furnace is running efficiently. And one of the side effects, if it's not running efficiently, is you've got a risk of carbon monoxide leaking. So what they're doing is trying to make sure that that's not going to be an issue for you. And then there are other things that we do that, for example, you know, leaving a logger in several rooms in a house just to make sure over a period of time, whereas there's not a developing problem. What's been most revealing to me since I first started to go to National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Association meetings is I think most people get that carbon monoxide will kill you. What I didn't realize until I started going and listening to people like Sharon McNabb is that it's not just that it will kill you or it might kill you. And the alarms that are out there, they'll stop you dying. And they'll wake you up before you're going to die. But the issue isn't really so much about that. But the issue is that constant exposure to low levels of carbon monoxide poisoning, that's what's going to make you sick. And it may make you sick quite mildly, or if you listen to some of the stories at National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Association, you can get very seriously sick. So it's as much protecting against the risk of getting sick from carbon monoxide poisoning as from actually dying of carbon monoxide poisoning. And certainly for me, that's been the big change of our involvement over these last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, Luis and I have had the conversation many times about the lack of awareness here in North America in general for carbon monoxide safety and awareness, and compared to other places like the UK that are requiring certification, you know, required training to validate that, one, you understand what you're doing, and two, that you can run the equipment proficiently. Yeah. And here in the United States, we don't really take that approach. And it's been very surprising that we have not followed those standards. And so we keep bringing this awareness, trying to promote that within our own industry and encouraging associations to push it forward a little further and get us a little closer to that goal of being an aware industry.
Jonathan's certainly been knocking on the door here in the US for most of the last 30 years. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's you know, just enlightened self-interest. I mean, why do we put smoke alarms in our homes? Why do we put carbon monoxide alarms in our homes? You know, why do we wear seatbelts? It's just the sort of enlightened self-interest. And, you know, having somebody come to your home who knows what they're doing, and 90% of, you know, most, almost everybody in our industry, I get it, knows what they're doing. But having them test and test using equipment that's designed for that purpose just seems a part of protecting oneself and protecting one's family. It's just a common sense thing to do.
You know, as we start introducing new refrigerants into our residential, like commercial industries, we're taking steps to protect the consumer from the very, very low potential of flammability of our new class of A2L refrigerants. And so we're installing continuous monitoring sensors with mitigation controls inside of the cabinet. Our gas appliances for the last 3 decades since we've been using solid state controls has mitigation controls built into the furnace in case there's the potential for a non-ignition of our highly flammable gases. But yet, as an industry, we don't think about the seriousness of that potential that could, you know, that could kill people in their sleep or expose them to long-term health conditions that has been existent in equipment that we've been working on for generations. And so it really comes down to the contractor, comes down to the technician to be personally responsible for that health aspect for our consumer.
And, you know, and I've visited contractor companies that, you know, I know that, you know, like every single call they make, they're going to do a test and they're going to report the test results back to their head office. So I know that, you know, that there are organized companies, contracting companies that take this very seriously and are being very careful to provide that for their customers. So maybe that's a work in progress. That's beginning to develop.
Yeah, absolutely. And proper proper training. Luis joins us at the National HVAC Our Education Conference regularly to talk about proper procedures and practices, and works with contractors and distributors for proper training for the use of their instruments. So have we seen an uptick, Luis, in the request for training?
Yes, and I think we are definitely on the correct trajectory. We've seen an increase of people who are more interested in detecting CO at low levels, more interest in people wanting to do a combustion analysis and doing it properly. I think when we were comparing and contrasting the two markets, you know, here there's no regulation like in the UK where you have to have a certified badge. Interestingly enough, though, being in the HVAC world, when we contrast that to somebody who's working with refrigerants, there's a national standard, an EPA 608 license that you have to have to be able to work with those refrigerants. Unfortunately, when we get to the carbon monoxide and the combustion analysis, there is no overarching framework with that. I think we're starting to see an uptick in people, one, because they are, as Michael was talking about, seeing the dangers of low levels of CO that are currently happening, that are causing long-term injury. And when you start looking at a lot of that long-term injury, though, because it can mimic and manifest into so many other symptoms, it really makes you go, well, did that person really have X, or is it happen to be a byproduct of low levels of carbon monoxide? Exactly. Because, I mean, we've all had that friend that has gone through probably long periods of testing with a mystery illness, and that's what they always like to say it as in the news. And you really start to look back and like, maybe they've moved and something happened and they were like, oh, I feel so much better.
New home is so much healthier.
Right. But they don't realize it was the home that was making them sick.
Yeah.
I think in our industry, the top level contractors are really pushing forward for that training and that. And when we get the top tier right, it just brings everybody up a little bit more. So I think we're on the right path. I think we also have some interesting things that are going on the U.S. side, especially when we start talking about some of the initiatives that are out there. Mm-hmm. The EPA has some goals to help to get to a net zero decarbonization going forward, and they're pretty aggressive in their timeframe that they're trying to do that. And they're trying to do that from all the way from residential to industrial. They almost mimic each other.
Sure.
And one of the things that they were doing, what can we do now? What's going to be cost effective now? Because there's a lot of mitigation strategies, even with the push for electrification. There's some industries that just can't work in an electrified, especially when we start getting to some of those industrials. We can never completely get rid of CO2 and CO in the atmosphere. It's just a natural byproduct of a lot of different processes. So one of the big focuses, though, is how can we mitigate what's going out into the environment? So there's also the environmental reasons. So it's kind of a multi-part that we're working with to be able to do that, but we are starting to see those tides turn. And I will tell you, I was at that conference with Michael at the NCOAA. We talked at the beginning, we like to have a lot of fun. The conference definitely was enlightening. And unfortunately, it's not all fun and games, though, when you're talking about carbon monoxide. Those lower levels, I was saying stuff like that you can mistreat illnesses. I mean, it can range from people just thinking they have a heart problem. It could be long-term headaches, those migraines that people say that they have. It can lead to dizziness or nauseousness. So sometimes it's mimicking different syndromes. You can have early onset Alzheimer's, traumatic brain injury. It can cause people to start losing mobility. And that's actually just at lower levels for a long period of time. So when you're not feeling well, what does the doctor tell you to do? Don't go to work. So now you're in that unhealthy house more. And what happens? Because carbon monoxide doesn't immediately leave. And even when it's at those lower levels, it basically just builds a base and keeps increasing and increasing. And as you start getting that,
it's a cumulative exposure.
Exactly. And it also, it doesn't leave your body instantly. So just because, you know, you were exposed to a higher level and you walked outside, that CO doesn't purge itself out of your body. So it can take days, it can take weeks, it can take years. It may never permanently leave your body. And there's some disagreement, though, even on like treatments of that. And that's a scary thing to me because our contractors want to do a good job. And we obviously don't want to kill any of our homeowners, business owners, anything like that, right? That doesn't make any good business for us to kill off your customer base. But the idea of leaving them injured is almost even a little bit more scary because you may not realize that you did it. So having tools like a portable carbon monoxide detector when you walk into a building that's going to let you know those lower levels is hugely important. Having a combustion analyzer, and not just having one, but one that you're actively using, and you're actively making sure that it's meeting where the manufacturer's specs are, because that is another contrast that you would see between the two markets.
Absolutely.
So again, with their certificates that they have to have, they also have to show that their analyzer has been tuned properly. So we've worked really hard here, and there's a program in the UK as well that's very similar. But we've made it simple for a contractor to be able to get this recertified and get the paperwork that is necessary that shows, yes, I've done my due diligence, I'm actively using this, and it fits where the manufacturer's specs are.
No, I love that program. Love to learn more about that. And we'll provide some links in the content description of how you can gain access to a variety of resources from UEI. You know, there was a time where the consumer, when they would have concerns of carbon monoxide, their first response would be to call their local fire department. Mm-hmm. My son is a firefighter. He tells me about these stories from the firefighters that have been in for decades, and they were the ones that were the first responders for potential carbon monoxide scenarios. And I look at our industry And I see that as a huge opportunity. You know, we're in a moment in time in our industry where box sales are low and services up. So we tend to do that. We follow these economic trends very regularly. And so I do foresee us in a short period of time where we're going to be spending more time focused on the service sector and a little bit less on equipment replacement, but it opens up that opportunity amongst that. When we look at ways to make that connection with our consumer, remember, when we're in the service sector, it's about making proper connections with that consumer, creating a relationship, a long-lasting relationship that goes sometimes between many different homes. And one way to do that is by introducing things like carbon monoxide detection into your standard service. I know if I think about it from my perspective as a homeowner, not as a contractor, but as a homeowner, if I have a technician coming out to do an inspection or a service on my furnace, and they are walking into my environment prepared, taking measurements before they even get inside, that says a lot to me before I've even met the person. So I do see a significant opportunity for contractors to pay a little bit more attention to carbon monoxide monitoring as part of their standard service procedure for gas furnaces and gas appliances.
I think that's a really good idea, Clifton. I mean, the crazy thing about all this is it's totally avoidable. I mean, there's some things you just can't avoid, but you can avoid the risks of carbon monoxide poisoning. And it's not that it's difficult to do. You know, the analyzers, as Louise can explain in another context, are relatively straightforward to use.
Right.
You know, they can be serviced relatively easily. It's not that this is difficult. It just needs to be done. But it is avoidable for the simple step of doing the test, making the check, and so on and so on. So, you know, lots of opportunity there. And I think you're right to draw attention to that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So tell us about some resources that the audience can connect with UEI and learn more about the history, learn more about training opportunities brought to them.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of different ways to be able to reach out to us. You can visit us at our website, which is ueitests.com. If you're on the social medias, you can also follow us on our Facebook and our Instagram. Just type in UEI test instruments, will pop up. I've done a variety of trainings. We've done some trainings together, Clifton. So you can also find some of my trainings that I've done if you go to the ESCO YouTube channel, as well as you can also check that out for we did a bunch of little PSAs about the safety and carbon monoxide that just aired in the month of November. And you know what? If you don't want to have to find us on a computer, you can pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-547-5740. And one of the greatest things, though, about it between our office, we're filming here in our Indianapolis ISO facility, but we also do have staff in our Oregon office. So you get live customer service about 12 hours a day between those two people, or those two places. So you can actually give a phone call, and most of the time we'll even answer you.
Talk to a real person.
That's right.
Mr. Kane, Ms. Keller, we appreciate having you so much, and we look forward to bringing more training and more industry awareness as we continue this effort to build our HVACR community. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Clifton.
Thanks, Clifton.